Red Flags Through Rose Glasses, written by Lear Yu, read by Fens and Marshes. Fandom Dream SMP. There are rules when it comes to this kind of thing. Spoken, unspoken, followed, ignored. Ponk knows. It's getting harder to know as the days go by, as the rift between him and Sam grows ever wider, but he knows. He's an actor playing a part. A spy he fancies on the good days, but mostly, mostly an actor. There are red contacts which are the focus piece if Phyllis's dabbles into fashion terminology were to be believed. And Ponk does believe her, always has. After all, she's been such a good friend. But he's never been one for blind faith, and it's hard to believe in something you never see. Harder still to not believe in something that flaunts its power on the daily. Ponk frowns at himself in the mirror. A scowl, maybe, had his face been a little more suited for scowls. His thoughts have felt scattered lately, not quite his own. He's felt scattered. Either the days are sludge melting together, or he is, losing his grip, disappearing into the ground. Which isn't altogether pleasant to consider. He holds the frown for a moment, stretches it into a smile, before going back to his previous impassive expression. No trace of the liveliness his friends used to comment on. Purpled, most recently, his thoughts betray. When was the last time I spoke to him, anyway? But one's friends always see the best of you. An actor to the final curtain. Ponk leans in and glances down towards the rim of the sink to find his contacts case. It's not there, and he purses his lips and squats to find it sitting by the exposed pipes innocuously. "Don't do that," he murmurs instinctively. "I didn't even hear that. Now what will we do if I lose you?" The contacts, of course, are contacts. They don't answer. Someone else might have, once upon a time, joked about how he was always talking to inanimate objects instead of the person right next to him. But that's a train of thought that will inevitably crash and burn, as trains do, as things do. Ponk looks towards the mirror again and gently presses his contacts into place. It's a relief to get out of the damp air when he steps out of the restroom. The wardrobe door across the room hangs slightly ajar, which should feel concerning, he's sure, but it isn't, really. It's always ajar for some reason or another. He can't seem to remember the last time it had been fully closed, though it surely can't have been that long ago. It's old and dilapidated, but not so much so that it's impossible to close. Never mind that. Ponk has more costumes to put on, more armour to protect himself. He isn't entirely sure where he got the shirt. It's been sitting abandoned in the back of his closet for what must be years at this point, but it's nice enough, and, more importantly, different. He goes back to the mirror after tugging it on, pleased to find it still fits. It's patterned with bright yellow lemons against sky blue, a collar and cuffed sleeves on his biceps, and a neat row of buttons climbing up the middle. He looks like a walking advertisement for some bygone era. Ponk looks at his red eyes in the mirror. The contacts have made themselves background noise, and he can't feel them much anymore, but staring into the mirror... Well... He still sees them, doesn't he? He knows they're there. Ponk swallows around the sudden lump in his throat. Sludge, he thinks, in my throat and around my feet, and is this what corruption feels like? And turns sharply away, back to the wardrobe again. Back and forth he will go. He has more armour to put on, after all, more walls to raise. This is how to defend yourself when there's no one left to do it for you. He has been stubbornly not thinking about Sam. He continues stubbornly not thinking about Sam, or the prison, or its mysterious contents, or the secret underbelly he's sure there must be. Before Ponk leaves, he tugs a striped balaclava over his head, covering all but his eyes. Eyes that are supposed to be the windows to the soul, but his are tinted, his are hidden. The end.